fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
And this week on Fitter Happier, we're exploring the nature of psychosis. People experiencing psychosis have problems with the way they interpret the real world and usually have symptoms that affect their beliefs, thoughts, feelings and behaviour. Joining us to discuss this further is Senior Nurse for the Mental Health Emergency Response line, Laurie Coffey. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for coming back onto the show.
Thank you.
Now, first off, can you explain to us what psychosis actually is?
Well, basically it's a loss of contact with reality, and the way that is manifested is people can have confused thinking, they can have difficulty in concentrating, following conversation, remembering things, and their sense of perception can be either speeded up or slowed down of what's going on around them. They can also have false beliefs, which is a delusion. So it's fixed, it's false, and it's not responsive to logic. So, you know, people can believe something that seems quite bizarre and you can point out in a logical fashion why that would not be so. But because it's a belief and that's fixed for them, they're not going to hear what you're saying or be receptive to it. In extreme cases, people can get hallucinations of various sorts. Usually, most common is auditory, but also you can have tactile hallucinations, which is touch, feel, smell, and that's basically it. The big thing is feelings too, people's perception of the world around them. You know, I said earlier about speeding up or slowing down. Everything seems different, and the moods can be out of kilter with what's going on around them. And they can also be incongruous. So you can ask a person how they are, and they might appear to be really flat and unemotional, and they say, oh yeah, I'm fine, I'm great, you know.
Yeah.
So it's out of kilter with what's going on. Or in the other extreme can happen too, where people are sort of become elevated and over-involved in what's going on, over-responsive to the stimuli around them.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you're experiencing psychosis, is it something that you can actually be aware of, or is that actually the nature of the beast that you're not?
No, often people are aware that something's out of kilter.
Sure.
They're aware that something's wrong. If they're not familiar with the experience, they're naturally going to have trouble verbalising or interpreting
kind of
it.
Yeah.
And understanding it in that context. And then, as often with psychosis, as it becomes more pronounced and more extreme, people lose that insight into that reality, that their reality has been different from others. Yeah. And they often misinterpret that as their reality is the real one, and other people, there's something wrong with other people because they're not understanding what's going on for them.
Is it a standalone condition, or is it usually the symptom or result of other conditions or illnesses?
It's usually connected to other things that is happening in a person's life. So there's a number of factors. It can be from an organic cause, you know, from trauma or something like that, where you get an actual change to the brain and you get psychosis related to that. It can be a functional illness, with some of the illnesses that are quite familiar to people, or the words are anyway, like schizophrenia and bipolar affective disorder, things like this. You can get psychotic symptoms. And it can also be a response to the environment around you, in the sense that it can be like a confusional state from exposure to toxins and poisons, or it can be a drug-induced state, you know, from, well, they're poisons too, but, you know, induced by various prescription and non-prescription, more often than not, non-prescription medications that people use recreationally.
Okay. You're tuned to The Mag on RTRFM 92.1, and it's Fitter Happier. We're discussing psychosis with Senior Nurse for the Mental Health Emergency Response line, Laurie Coffey. Now, Laurie, you have quite a bit of experience with drug-induced psychosis. What are some of the most dangerous kind of symptoms you've seen from patients in your care?
It's with drug-induced psychosis, it often depends on which drug is inducing the psychosis.
So different drugs have different kind of...
They do. Yeah. So, for example, if you have a vulnerability to psychosis and you're exposed to a drug like cannabis, then that can set off the psychosis.
Yeah.
And that tends to be in terms of the confused thinking, the delusional beliefs, etc. But often the behaviour changes are sort of what we call negative symptoms, you know, where the person loses interest in their self-care and their surroundings around them and so forth. But another extreme is the other extreme, I suppose, is the amphetamine-induced psychoses, which are often much more severe, and they still have the same effects on confused thinking, but they're more heightened in terms of delusional beliefs, and often those delusional beliefs take on a paranoid flavour.
Yeah.
So people have obviously thinking that, and sometimes it's semi-plausible, the reasons, you know, like believing the police are after them, or yeah, some nefarious do-gooders, near-do-gooders are after them for drug debts or whatever.
Yeah,
so
sure,
it might have some semblance of reality, yeah, reality, but it's the, you know, perception that, you know, there's cameras in the roof, or they've been followed around by cars, et cetera, et cetera. And often with those psychoses, the behaviour can be more extreme. So people, because of the nature of those amphetamine-induced group of medications, they are stimulants, so people can be hyper-stimulated, so they get that extra energy, go without sleep. And going without sleep in itself can sort of induce a sort of semi-psychotic state. If you go without long enough, you just ask any new parent.
Yeah, kind of experienced some of that myself.
Yeah.
Are certain people predisposed to certain forms, I guess, severity of psychosis when they take certain drugs more so than others?
Absolutely. And this is what they call in health is stress vulnerability model. So if you've got a family history, if you've got a vulnerability with it, you know, inbuilt, if you like, mm-hmm, a predisposition, you may never ever develop psychosis. But if you're exposed to the wrong environmental factors, various stressors like relationship problems, financial problems, homelessness, things like that, or substance problems, that can induce it,
yeah,
where it wouldn't otherwise come up. So, yeah, definitely can affect it. And some people, once they're aware of that, can manage their vulnerability much easier just by being conscious of the fact that they have to be more careful than, okay, perhaps some of their friends and colleagues who may appear to be more happy-go-lucky in their and cavalier in their attitude, yeah, towards some of these things, yeah.
So how is it treated?
Well, the first things it's treated is once the person gets some insight, or even before, is really to get the person assessed.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, to get them assessed to determine what's actually going on. And from that point, the treatment can be on a continuum, if you like. It can be as little as just responding to counselling and education, or it can involve that coupled with medication. And if necessary, people can be hospitalised, you know, to contain and make their environment safe if need be. So, and usually that occurs where there's no other option.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if people are experiencing symptoms or they think maybe their friends or family are, where can they find out more?
Okay, often the very best place to start, because one of the huge problems with psychosis is something we alluded to last week when we were talking,
yeah,
is perception and public perception. And often we recommend that people just start with their GP.
Yeah.
And if it can be resolved at that level, that's great. And often it can. GPs in the main are fantastic, and they're very experienced at dealing with this. And they're also very experienced at dealing with first episode stuff. But then if it needs to be escalated from that point, they can then refer on to a local mental health service. Or if a person's in the younger age group, organisations like Headspace are very good. And
yep,
they have very good, some of the Headspace units around Perth have fantastic first episode programs and really good support services built in. And then if it needs to be escalated further, as I say, to the local mental health service. But what I always recommend to people, if they have any queries at all, start with your GP.
Yep.
Ask the question, what's going on? And if you're a concerned family member or a friend or somebody, you know, you're concerned about somebody you know, also you can make contact with those services,
yep,
or the mental health response line.
Okay, fantastic. Laurie Coffey, thank you so much for joining us on The Mag this morning.
Thank you very much, Chris.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.